The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that everyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome back once again, everybody. Rise and shine, 7:30, and welcome now to week 3 of a 5-week series, okay? 5 straight weeks, the gospel every week is taken from John chapter 6. And the entire thing is all about the Blessed Sacrament. For 5 straight weeks, something we only do once every 3 years. And why so much attention on the Eucharist? Why so much attention on the Blessed Sacrament? Well, the simple answer to that is, it's just that important, ladies and gentlemen. You can't possibly overemphasize the Blessed Sacrament because the Blessed Sacrament is Jesus himself, hidden under the appearance of a piece of bread, which makes it so easy to overlook. And that's why we need to be reminded, because it sure doesn't look like much, does it? But you know, God comes to us regularly in ways that we can perceive. You know, I look down through the Bible, I look down through history, I can't find a single exception to this rule. God could, if he wanted to, appear to us in the full blast of his glory and the full measure of his infinity. But he regularly appears to us in ways that we can comprehend. But you know what's interesting? Throughout your life and throughout the universe, if you keep your eyes open, you can find little hints of what it means that God is infinite. Now, these things, when I discover them, they help my faith. Can I share a couple of images with you this morning that you might find helpful? A couple of images. I love astronomy. Because in astronomy, you deal with mind-boggling distances and objects of unimaginable, mind-boggling size and proportion. And you know, it touches on the infinity of God. It helps me. It helps me to wrap my mind around the mystery when you say, you know, God is infinitely powerful or infinitely good. Astronomy, it helps me. Little image for you here this morning you might find helpful. If you could imagine our sun as being the size of an orange, just imagine. On that scale, our entire planet Earth would be no bigger than a grain of sand, sitting at a distance of 30 feet. The biggest planet in our solar system is Jupiter. And on that scale, it would be no bigger than a cherry pit, sitting at a distance of one city block. But the closest star in our entire universe
the closest star to us, it's called Proxima Centauri, on that scale would be the size of an apple sitting in Denver, Colorado. I mean, it helps me to wrap my mind around the infinity of God. Another image for you here this morning. I also love prehistory, and for the exact same reason, because it deals in mind-boggling realities, the eons of time, of created history. You know, it touches on the infinity of God. It helps me to understand what it means when you say God is infinitely powerful and infinitely good. Another little image for you here this morning that I hope you find helpful. If you could imagine the time of 1 year represented by one single inch, just imagine, such that the span of your entire life does not even reach from where I'm standing now to the top step of the sanctuary. And the bottom step of the sanctuary, that's about the distance from here to World War I. And from where I'm standing now to the St. Jude statue back there in the corner, it's about the time that's elapsed since the days of Charlemagne, 1,200 years. On that scale, how far would you have to travel before you'd enter into prehistory? How far would you have to travel, for example, before you'd come across a dinosaur? Well, you'd have to drive from here to Oklahoma City with a scale of 1 inch being a year. And you know, that just scratches the surface of the infinity of God. Could God appear to us as a full blast of majesty? He could do anything he wants, but he doesn't. He appeared to Moses as a burning bush, and he appeared to Elijah as a gentle whisper, and he was born into this world in Bethlehem as a helpless little baby. And the same God comes to you and me under the appearance of a piece of bread. But before you can believe in that, you must first believe in him. And that is where the gospel today begins. Jesus has one goal in this gospel, only one thing he wants to accomplish. He wants these people to believe in him so that he can tell them about the Blessed Sacrament. And he's just got finished working this amazing miracle. He's multiplied the loaves and the fishes. And remember, our Lord used miracles as his credentials. Jesus worked miracles so that people would believe what he had to say. But the people forgot. You know, Jesus says, "I've come down from heaven." And they take one look at him and they're like, "We know your mother and your father. We know where you came from. We have a very hard time believing that you came down from heaven." And you know, they forgot what he did that made his words believable. And that's a real tragedy, because we're just like these people. We're skeptical too, and we forget what our Lord has done. And because of that, we run the risk of not believing and understanding this greatest gift that he has to give us. And we need this. Because what God asks of us in this life, by our own human strength, it's impossible. Do you know that? And we even teach this as a church. We teach, it's in the catechism, that it is impossible by human strength alone, without the assistance of divine grace, to live a moral life. You will fail without him. That, believe it or not, was what the first reading was all about. First reading, first book of Kings, it's the story of the prophet Elijah, who's at the end of his rope. Every authority in the land is out to kill him. The police force is after him. The army is after him. The queen of Israel, Queen Jezebel, she will not rest until she sees his severed head on a pike staff. All of this because Elijah, he just did what God asked of him. That's the only thing he did. And he's at the lowest of the low. And he goes and he takes refuge under the squalid shade of a broom tree, looks up to heaven, and he says, "Lord,
why don't you just end my life? You ever felt that way? You don't have to admit it out loud. However, if you have, I hope you find comfort in knowing that one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament felt the exact same way. And what God says to Elijah, he says to you and me. He says, I'm sorry, Elijah, but you don't get to quit. I got a job for you. Now get up. And an angel from heaven comes and gives him bread from heaven. And when he's finished eating that bread, he walks 40 days and 40 nights straight. Does that sound impossible to you? It is impossible. And that's actually the point. It's a prefiguring of the Eucharist. What Elijah does with the strength of God is beyond anything that we can do of our own strength. And he goes to the mountain of God, Horeb, and that's just Mount Sinai. It's the exact same place where Moses got the Ten Commandments from God. God loves to give his people impossible jobs and then give him his own strength to make it possible. Second reading, same story. Here's St. Paul speaking to the Ephesians, and he says, dear Ephesians, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all fury. Get rid of all anger. Get rid of all reviling and all shouting and all malice. Dear Ephesians, be kind to one another. Be compassionate. And forgive one another just as God has forgiven you in Christ. And you hear that, you know, they must have heard that and they must have thought, that sounds great, Paul. But geez, easier said than done. You ever tried that? How'd it work out for you? Easier said than done. I'm telling you, impossible if not by his strength. And speaking of the mountain of God, Horeb, Mount Sinai, you know what else happened on Mount Sinai? That's where God appeared to Moses as a burning bush. And God gave Moses an impossible job there. He said, Moses, I want you to go back to the Pharaoh of Egypt. The very one you ran away from to save your life. I want you to go back to the Pharaoh of Egypt and to tell him to let my people go. And Moses says, Lord, who am I to go to the most powerful man in the world and tell him that? God says, Moses, it doesn't matter who you are. It matters who I am and that I am with you. Now go. And that, brothers and sisters, that's why Jesus gives us the Blessed Sacrament, because we need it. And we need to redouble our faith in him. And that's very hard to do in our own time, isn't it? Listen, I read the same news that you read, and I'm just as disheartened as you are when I hear these stories of our leaders in whom we put our trust, who betrayed us. Just as disheartened as you are. But you want to know what? It's a reminder that you want to put your faith and trust in God and not in man. You know, Jesus chose 12 apostles. Judas Iscariot turned traitor. I often wonder why he did that. I think part of the reason why Jesus chose Judas Iscariot is to let us know that even God's own chosen instruments can turn against the people. But you want to put your trust in God now. In the time of the Bible, Jesus, he worked miracles so that the people would believe. You know what he does in our own time? He raises up saints. You want to know what it means to believe in the Lord. You want to know what it means to believe the Catholic faith. Look to people who said yes to God and not to people who said no. Look to people like Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Look to people like Francis of Assisi. Look to the people who said yes to God and not to the people who said no to God. Because after all, you judge a medicine by the people who take it, not by the people who don't. And I hate to put this in blunt terms, but you and I, we don't have any other choice. Without strength that comes from God, and I'm telling you, anchored in His presence that He gave us in the Blessed Sacrament, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it to heaven. You're not going to make it to the commitments that you've made in life. You're not going to make it in keeping God's commandments. You're not going to make it in becoming who you were born to be. You're not going to make it. I hate to put it in blunt terms, but you know, we got two choices. It's faith or famine. And that's why we need to listen very, very closely these next 2 weeks to what our Lord has to say to us about His greatest gift, His real presence in the Blessed Sacrament, because He speaks truly when He says, I am the living bread that's come down from heaven, and the bread that I will give is Myself for your life. Amen.